Sorry. And then just I've got one more now.
Now it's the team.
Okay. I hereby call this meeting to order. Please stand, silence phones, take off your caps, and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now it gives me great pleasure to swear in our Ward 2 counselor, Ivan Rangel. Ivan, will you join me on the other side of the flag? And we'll have the swearing in ceremony. Okay. Let's push that back. We need to take a picture. Please raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I, Ivan Rangel.
I, Ivan Rangel.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Iowa.
And the Constitution of the State of Iowa.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Discharge all the duties.
Discharge all the duties
of the office of city councilor
of the office of city councilor
in the city of Washington, Iowa,
in the city of Washington, Iowa,
as now or hereafter required by law,
as now or hereafter required by law.
Very good.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Certificate of election. It is official. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you and welcome. Okay, now we've got to move our chairs all around. Okay, Sally, would you please call the roll?
Ernest?
Here.
Linsman?
Here.
Moore?
Here.
Rangel?
Here.
Steigers?
Here.
Youngquist?
Here. All right, all present and accounted for. Great. We have 12 items on the consent agenda. Does anyone have any questions or...
I think first we need to accept the agenda.
I'm sorry. I think I would learn by now. Yes, I would call for the acceptance of the agenda. Thank you, Bethany.
So
thank you.
Second.
Second by Elaine. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Thank you. All right, now to the consent agenda. Items 1 through 12. Are there any for separate consideration?
I make a motion to approve items 1 through 12 under consent items.
Thank you, Fran.
Second.
Second. Elaine. Thank you, Elaine. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Same sign? Okay. Thank you. Next, we move to a presentation from the public. And I'm just going to remind everyone of the ground rules. And this is for everyone, guests and council. We use a timer and everyone gets 3 minutes. And some reminders that public comment is a time for us to listen to the citizens of Washington, but it's not the time for debate, workshop, or for exchanges back and forth. And it's absolutely not the time for foul language, personal attacks, or yelling of any type. We work to accommodate virtual attendees, and they will also have a time to comment if they would wish to. Also, public comment can also be received in writing to the clerk, and it will be given to the council. And the mayor and mayor pro tem reserve the right to conclude public comment or to conclude public comment that is redundant or not related to city business, and to direct those comments to the city clerk to be provided to elected officials. Thank you for your patience. With that, let's begin. Do we have anyone signed up, Sally?
We do. We have two, and first is Mike Levy.
Okay. Mike, welcome. And would you go to the podium and say your name and your address, please?
Evening. Mike Levy. The address of my business is 421 North Iowa Avenue. Mose Levy is a business that's been in Washington. We're in our 84th year. We employ 11 full and part-time employees, and the reason I'm here tonight is, as you can imagine, we're the only business in Washington on both sides of the railroad tracks. So your consideration of safety zones and road street closings directly impacts our business. The fact that we're on both sides of the tracks and we receive somewhere between 200 and 300 semis a year, a road closing would be, it's not going to run us out of business, but it's going to be a problem for us. The safety zone issue, that's up to you. I have an opinion, but that's not why I'm here tonight. The road closing would be something that I hope you would realize isn't a good idea, I don't think, for the community and specifically for Mosley. I also realize, looking around the group here, because our business is under roof, I doubt a few, if any of you, even know what we do. And I would invite you to call me. My cell phone number is on the sign-in sheet, and I would be happy to give you a tour individually or as a group anytime that I'm free. I really think you'd enjoy seeing what we do. We pick up steel in bundles up to 10,000 pounds and move it in and out on a daily basis. Because we're on both sides of the tracks, we shuttle material between buildings with our trucks multiple times a day. And we have customers quite often pick up who have to go to both buildings to pick up based on the product. So I think you can see the inconvenience it would cause for a road closing of either Marion or North Iowa. Do you have any questions? I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to the group.
Thank you very much, Mike. If anyone has any questions, you could contact Mike directly.
Well, would North Marion be as inconvenient if it were closed?
Yes, and the reason for that is if you look at our two buildings, our north building, all our semis back in the west end on North Marion. And so one of the biggest concerns, and I'm sure Chief Lester could understand this, say North Marion is closed and a semi pulls around the corner onto Marion, but he can't unload, he's not unloading at that building, he's supposed to unload up at the other building. Now he's got to back up into an intersection. And I can see him shaking his head, and we both know why. It would be tremendously dangerous.
Yeah.
The same situation in an even worse scenario exists at our south building. Should a semi pull down the street to our south building, but he needs to deliver to the north building, he can probably go between the railroad tracks, but there are times due to snow or railroad business, he would have to back clear up to the bike shop and back around the corner. It'd really be a bad one.
Okay. Thanks so for that information.
Both of those would be safety issues that I don't think the chief wants to address.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you
for coming.
Please feel free to call.
Okay.
I enjoy showing off our business.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Has anyone else signed up?
The next person signed up is Danielle Bombi.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
My name is Danielle Bombi, and I live at 308 West Adams. And I don't know if this is the appropriate venue to bring this up, but I I have kind of a partial inquiry, partial complaint. I'm wondering what the ordinances are in town for like ATV usage, especially regarding minors. I have a couple of neighbor kids who have, they had like small four-wheelers and were kind of unruly with them, driving on the streets and sidewalks and people's yards. And I actually did call that into the police and they addressed it. And I noticed that the four-wheelers disappeared, but now the kids have some small motorcycles. They're not big. I don't know exactly what they're called, but I've observed them racing them down the alleys. And it's just a general disturbance to the peace of my house. Plus, I feel there's times they'll turn around in the road. And I just don't know if it's appropriate that they're doing that. Because I don't want to keep calling it in if it's like something that they can do. But I really find it a big disturbance in my home. And it's kind of a daily occurrence, something that's can be for hours a day. And I would just appreciate knowing what the guidelines are and, you know, any chance that it could be stopped would be appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any information on that?
ATVs and UTVs have to be 18 years or older, correct, to be on the streets.
And is an alley considered a street or is it considered part of their yard?
That would be a right of way, so I would, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Almost.
Okay.
As far as driving around their yard, you know, we can't control that.
In the
alley. They're in the alley.
Okay. I will. I appreciate it because I just don't want to be a nuisance calling, but I feel like it probably should stop before somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
There's a lot of traffic in and out of the alley too.
Okay. Thanks for bringing it to our attention and be sure to let the police know if you see it.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Anyone else?
Everybody has signed up.
Okay. Is there anyone else that'd like to speak to? Okay. Do we have anyone online? See, there's a guest, but I don't know who that is. Would anyone else online like to speak to the council? Okay, let's move on. Okay, claims and financials. Kelsey?
All right, I did get a couple of questions ahead of time on claims, so I'll go through those. Under water distribution and sewer collection, there is a total or there's a claim for a garage door for $14.97. That's a split cost between water distribution and sewer collection, maintenance, as well as parks use that old, I think, DOT or county shed. I'm not quite sure.
State DOT is what I've been told.
Okay. We've had it for like 30 years. The door, they just, it got to the point where they couldn't even get into it, which is difficult when you're storing equipment in there. So, and road use and well, maintenance in general just have a larger budget than parks, which you guys already know. So on that side, that was split flat.
Okay.
Another question was in the water department for the control room repair. And Kyle said that for the overhead heating and cooling unit that they have in their controls and electrical room, it was under warranty for parts, but not the labor. And then there were some bills from Vesco, and that was an order he put in a couple months ago for chemical pumping parts. These are unique parts directly for chemical pumps and chemical injection lines. And the bills got lost, apparently, and now we're paying them. And then the very last question. It's under police for CAPR. It says headlight / repairs for $307. Headlight itself was like $4. It was just the bulb, but it was the other repairs. It listed a hose and a shaft. And I'm assuming that's obviously more involved because it was about $1,000. So
on the Dodge Durango.
Yes, surprise. So that is all that I received for questions on claims. Oh, one more. Sorry, I forgot. Under water, there is also a claim for Global Payments, and that is our credit card processing fees. So right now, when a person pays at the counter, we pay the entire credit card processing fee. We don't pass any of that along. It's the same when they pay online. There is $1.25 that they pay for convenience to Incode, which is our software company. But in general, the city pays all the process. I am working on putting together a, when I first started, we used to track this because credit card payments were very new to us. Mm-hmm. And it kind of told us like how much we were paying for each transaction. I stopped doing that because we like the credit card payments. They're convenient for a lot of people, but now we're looking at really high costs. So soon I'll bring back that same spreadsheet that shows like the cost per transaction.
All right. Thank you, Kelsey.
Yep.
Any other questions? Would anyone like to make a motion to
I'll make a motion to accept the claims.
Okay. Motion by Elaine. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Fran. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Okay. Now moving to new business. First, it's a public hearing on the total maximum property tax dollars.
Financial report.
Oh my God.
I am sure.
Okay. Financial reports. Sorry, I kind of lumped them all together.
This is the January 2023 financial report. The total funding tax and investments have decreased from the end of December by $282,250. That gives us a January month end balance of $10,366,218. After 7 months of operations, we're behind budget for revenue in the following funds. Airport fund by $10,605 due to fuel sales and container rent. And the sanitation by $48,515 for services and merchandise sales. And then we're under budget for revenue in the following funds: the general fund by $10,543 due to our lack of property tax revenue and our local option sales tax. Our road use fund by $26,764 due to transfers. The water fund by $9,072 due to charges for services, and the sewer fund by $109,111 due to charges for services. After 7 months of operations, our expenses are behind budget for all of the following funds, for all of the funds except general and sanitation. A common theme cannot speak today, I apologize, is that most funds are under budget or over budget due to our work comp installments and general insurance. Work comp installments are now done for the year. We pay those in seven installments. And the general insurance, as you guys know, is the big payment that we make for our property and liability first thing in the year. In addition to those insurance expenses, we're over budget in the following line items: our general fund for repairs, vehicle operations, utilities, payments to outside entities, and staff development. Airport fund for fuel, telecommunications, and other contractual services. The road use for street maintenance, steel coat program, vehicle operations, and mechanic supplies. Water plant for utilities, credit card fees, and tax services. Sewer plant for utilities, tractor purchase, vehicle operations, and tax services. Sewer collection for vehicle operations and heavy equipment. And finally, sanitation for other contractual services and recycling. Any questions? All right. Would someone like to make a motion?
Motion to approve the financials.
Thank you, Alla.
Second
from Bethany. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, Kelsey. Now to new business. And the public hearing for the total maximum property tax dollars to be levied in the fiscal year 2024 budget. Okay, is there anyone here who would like to speak to this issue? Okay, anybody here having a question? Okay.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you, Isla.
Second.
And second by Elaine. And Sally, would you call that roll?
Ernest?
Yeah.
Glinsman?
Yeah.
Moore?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Steigers?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Okay, now we move to number two, discussion and consideration of the resolution setting the total maximum property tax dollars to be levied in the fiscal year 2024 budget. We have this in front of you. We actually discussed this 2 weeks ago. Does anyone have any questions? No questions? Would anyone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
To accept this resolution setting the total maximum property tax dollars.
Thank you, Elaine. Who would like to second?
Second.
Jump in. Okay. Next one will be yours.
Yeah. Second.
Okay, right. Hi, Ben. Okay, great. This is a roll call vote, so Sally, call the roll.
Huntsman? Yes. Moore?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. All right. Next item is the discussion and consideration of the pool filter request for proposal. And Nick is here. So if anyone has any questions about these are for the filters, sand filters for the pool. And you have a little background here. Anyone have any questions or need any other information?
I did ask Nick some questions earlier. Okay. And just so everybody else knows, we're going from 3 to 2 sand filters with 100 square feet of coverage, and in the two, each of them are 50 instead of the 40s. We had 340s, and we're going to go to 250s and still be within the state regulatory, right?
Correct. Yep. Okay. It'll be.
So that's the big difference from our previous approval. We were talking about it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It happened. Seems like just yesterday, but it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're talking about sand filters. So we're going to go from
three
to two, and instead of vertical to horizontal. So we're going to save some space.
Yep. These are more efficient.
And they'd be more, I think they're going to be more efficient.
I'm not sure about the, well, yeah, efficiency is should be about the same because you're pushing the same amount of water through the same amount of surface mm-hmm. area. But it's, you know, with advancements in engineering and everything in the last 23 years, it should be a lot better. Newer mm-hmm. sand is going to be more effective in grabbing any particles and, mm-hmm.
And this biologicals. Was like budget for?
Yes, we got the budget perfect. And the only kind of nerve-wracking thing is we had this kind of budget number about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And with the times, the way it's risen, you know, even a 10% overage compared to what we had is $8,000 to $10,000. So we're just crossing our fingers that the bids come back in. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it's a bigger number, so we got to go out for bid. Hopefully the bids will come back aggressive. I know two companies that are eagerly anticipating this. Mm-hmm. Come to them. So
and these have to be engineered because they aren't made anymore, is that right?
Correct. So they're very specific to the pool. There's only so many companies out there that make large, huge mm-hmm. like this pool filters. So it's kind of a niche market.
And we're planning on using riverboat funds.
Is I believe Kelsey
helped me out. Yeah, so yes. we set aside $40,000 last year from the excess funds, and then we're planning on $40,000 this year mm-hmm. by the end of the year. And then I would say if things do come in over budget, we do still have a large amount that's not accounted for. Mm-hmm. So we could take them from that.
Okay.
I'll make
time, timing of it. If things go right, if we can get the bids, we'll get them back in time. You know, it could be a 6 month lead time. If that comes back good, we can maybe get it in this fall. If not, we've got a firm completion date by May 1 of 24 to make sure those are in time for the 24 pool season.
Great.
The only question I still have, and I didn't get to ask you that, Nick, we're using two filters right now, which give us 80
yes.
as a coverage. If one of those 50s go down, that's half of our system.
Right. I don't think we would be able to operate. 80 is close enough to the 100 they gave us a variance.
Okay.
So right. we're kind of operating on like a traditional permit.
Right.
Because John Kelly, the head of public health, understands the situation and can't just snap your fingers and come up with 80,000.
Right.
And we're very close to that filtration rate.
Right.
So he gave us a variance.
And I understand that part. I'm just saying in the future.
In the future, you know, I can't say, but I don't foresee them giving us a variance when it's half. You know,
that's
if something would break in the future, hopefully that's way down the road.
Well, and I'm hoping it's way down the road too.
Yeah. Then it would have to be
nothing lasts forever.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Thank you.
I'll make a proposal that we request proposals for the sand filters.
Okay. Let's see. Is this a is this a vote?
Just a voice vote.
Okay. So do we need a second then?
Awesome.
Okay, Isla second. Okay, so this is a voice vote. Okay. Sally?
Nope.
No.
Oh, just
all
okay.
Those in favor.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Good to go. Thank you. Next is a discussion and consideration of a resolution setting Mayor Pro Tem pay. Let's see. I can't find it.
I think if you're doing the mayor's job, you should get his pay.
Right. Yeah. Okay. There it is.
We're not paying him.
Page.
My okay. Correct, we are not paying him now.
No.
At this point. So we can move them funds over. Yeah. It won't add to our budget.
She's doing the duties. So she gets the pay.
Good.
Okay.
To approve the resolution.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
The mayor pro tem to receive funds.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Yeah, Bethany. All right. All okay. Sally, call the roll. Thank you.
Moore.
Yes.
Rendell.
Yes.
Stigers.
Yes.
Ernest.
Yes.
Lindsman.
Yes.
Youngquist.
You right. Staying with conflict. All right.
Staying with conflict.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, folks. Okay. Now moving on to discussion and consideration of a resolution approving a contract with FEH Design and Washington Public Library. Carrie Ann, do you have any other comments, information?
I don't, other than I know we talked about this back in January and y'all accepted FEH Design's proposal at that time. So this is just kind of the official contract.
Okay.
So are there any questions?
Anybody have any questions? I think it looks like an exciting development.
Yeah.
We make a motion to approve this.
Okay. Motion by Fran.
Second.
Ivan. Okay. Second by Ivan. And Sally, will you call the roll?
Rangel.
Yes.
Stigers.
Yes.
Ernest.
Yes.
Lindman.
Yes.
Moore.
Yes.
Youngquist.
Yes. Great. Okay. Next is discussion and consideration of a resolution approving grant agreement with the Iowa Finance Authority for the Home Rehabilitation Block Grant Pilot Program. And I know that we've been working on that, this getting owner-occupied properties that qualify. Deanna or anyone else, do you have any other comments about this? Anyone have questions?
Just that this is the grant agreement for doing the 15 houses, and we will receive $400,000. We're using $105,000 from our LMI fund, and we should hope to spend up to $32,000 per property. So, okay. And it is for exterior and interior, but mostly exterior.
Okay.
Rehab.
Great. Okay. Anyone have any other questions or?
I'll make a motion we accept the agreement.
All right. Thank you, Elaine. Do we have a second?
Second.
Fran, second from Fran. Another roll call. So, Sally?
Stigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Lindsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Younger?
Yes. All right. Only one thing with these federal ones, there's lots of paperwork. Okay. Okay. Next is a discussion and consideration of the third and final reading of an ordinance amending Chapter 130, public sale of food and beverages from mobile food vendors in city limits. And this is the third and final reading. And we have the ordinance and also the forms and application that these vendors need to complete. Does anyone have any questions?
Will we be setting the fees like at the next?
Okay, good question.
And direction on those fees.
Okay. You mean as far as suggestions? Okay. All right.
I'll make a motion that we accept the third and final reading of this ordinance ending chapter 130.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine, for the motion. Do I have a second? Second from Bethany. And Sally, call the roll.
Ernest?
Yes.
Lunsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Divers?
Yes.
Youngwood?
Yes. Okay, next discussion and consideration of the second reading of an ordinance amending chapter 165.23 of the Code of Ordinances regarding home occupations. And again, this is the second reading. Any questions?
Make a motion to approve the second reading of this ordinance.
Thank you, Fran.
Second.
Elaine, second. And Sally, to call the roll.
Lunsman? Yes. Moore?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Next is a discussion and consideration of the second reading of an ordinance amending chapter 165 of the Code of Ordinances regarding short-term rental properties. Any questions about this? So this is the second reading.
Motion to approve the second reading of the ordinance amending chapter 165, short-term rental.
Thank you, Isla.
Second.
And a second from Fran. And Sally, call the roll.
Moore?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Lindsman?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. And our final ordinance tonight, number 10, discussion and consideration of the second reading of an ordinance amending chapter 77, the ATV golf cart ordinance. And this is the second reading for this one. Any questions?
I'll make a motion that we accept the second reading of the ordinance amending.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine. Second?
Second.
Ivan, thank you. All those, Sally, call the roll.
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Lindsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. All right, that concludes our new business. The next business is the fiscal year 24 workshop for the budget. Welcome to our partners in the audience and online. Let's see, yeah, Michelle's there. So, council, you go to your budget notebook. Let's see, you remember to bring it. And let's see. We can find the information for these folks in the narrative, am I right? Okay. It's, we have first the chamber. We have a letter in here from Michelle Redner, and then this tourism report that was passed out just at the beginning of the meeting. Okay. Michelle, are you with us? There she is.
I am.
So if we don't
busy mom running errands right now. Can you hear me? This video is terrible.
We're still working on it.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you. I think I've lost you guys here now. I appreciate you guys supporting the mini tourism initiatives and events that the Chamber and our Welcome Center undertakes each year. I thought that, our funding request is consistent as in past years, no changes in that. And what I thought I would do, since we have a few new council members and a new staff member, Michaela, who's in our audience, just to give you guys a report of some of the annual events that we provide the community that are community tourism related and not chamber related. And so on the front side of the report that I provided, you can see some of the events that we hold, from Thursday Night Live, Summer Classic. Last year, we celebrated the 75th anniversary for Ridiculous Day and brought back a lot of retail icons. We do two craft shows, events for Halloween and Christmas, all throughout the seasons, lots and lots of things to keep us busy. And then on the back of this one sheet, just highlights a few special projects that we worked on. And I know a lot of you guys were instrumental in these projects. Millie, especially, the accomplishment of being awarded one of Iowa's great places and the exciting steps that this will allow Washington to move forward into some new directions. We also had a great partnership with the middle school where we revitalized the barn quilts and we used art and math to replicate them. And then the students interviewed the barn quilt owners to get their story told. And then we made it really modern by having QR codes on the back of those so people could hear their story. One of the exciting projects here at the end of 2022 was being awarded the grand prize for the Meet in Iowa contest. And we had a custom mural added in our downtown that hopefully you've all seen by now. And so it's been an exciting year. And then I'd also like to introduce Michaela Selecta, who's our outreach coordinator. She's the joint addition between the chamber and our hotel motel committee. And I don't know if Michaela's feeling comfortable to introduce herself right now.
Just wave.
I'm the outreach coordinator.
Awesome. Great. All right. Thank you, Michelle. Does anyone have any questions? Are you finished with your presentation?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone have any questions for Michelle? A lot of great events, a lot of things going on here. So,
and Millie is one of our volunteers that helps us out throughout the day. So she knows it's always something different every day.
That's right, an adventure. Isla is also a volunteer at the chamber. So
yes, and I'm sorry, I'm looking at a little screen here.
It's hard to see who we are. Okay, so no questions. All right. Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for joining us virtually.
And thank you for your support and consideration.
Right, and many of us will see you next Monday at the annual dinner. Hopefully,
I hope so.
Yes. Thank you a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Next is Main Street. Oh, yes. Come to the, that's best if you come to the podium. Then everyone can hear you. And welcome, Sam.
I'm Samantha Meyer, the new director of Main Street Washington. I'm not really sure how all of these go. I didn't really get training, so I just kind of jumped in November, and it's been going pretty well so far. I did make up an annual report and our budget, so if you have any questions, please ask me. I probably have to submit any questions for you guys, to be honest, but you're making a lot of strides forward. We've added three new board members, so Main Street's kind of had some issues in the past, and we know that, and we're working really hard to overcome them and just make a really big presence and remind the community that we're here and what we do. And Michelle brought up great places, and it was brought up in our meeting that most of the places that kind of qualify us for any grants through that is in our historic downtown. And that's what Main Street is. That's where our events are. That's where the heart of the city is. And we're working really hard to just keep it going, bring new places in, and let everybody know what's happening. There's almost something going on all the time. I would say communication is the biggest issue. So we've really increased our presence online. And I've been hitting the streets at least once a week, walking around, saying hi to all the businesses. I haven't made it super far off of the square. There's a map in there, I think, of the district. And so it goes up to the railroad, and then it goes down to Dollar General and Subway. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty big district. It encloses more than a lot of people think. It's not just the square. It goes off. So we're all really interested in what's going to go on with the street paving project. That's one of the biggest concerns for a lot of our businesses downtown is getting people to them so that they stay there. You know, the ones that are just off the square. So we do the shop-in strolls and things like that. And we just have them for Valentine's Day. We thought we were going to have to cancel it because there was so much snow. And so I was emailing and calling everybody that had pre-purchased tickets. And they were like, please don't cancel this. We have babysitters. We want to go. And so it was really fun. And the feedback I heard was we went to at least two stores that we didn't know existed before. And that's the purpose of those events and things like that, is so that we're getting recognition to those businesses that are downtown. So they don't just come in, have their great big idea and their dream, open up for a couple months. Nobody knows they're there. Nobody shops there. And then they leave. And that's what Main Street's for, is to make sure that people know what we have in Washington in our downtown. We're a destination. We can be. You can be a Galena or something like that. We just have to let people know that we're here and what we have here. And that includes the people that live here. So if you live here, don't just drive past our downtown. Mm-hmm. Come on up in. So there's a lot of great projects going on with wayfinding, getting people to come downtown, to stay downtown, working on the hotels with the chamber and things like that, places to stay, film festival. So we have a lot of exciting things going on. I guess I don't really know what all else you guys want to know. That's what we do. That's what I do with my time is I really, I'm out there with businesses constantly and trying to share what they're doing. I know Facebook is not the end all for communication, but it is pretty huge. And we've gained almost 400 followers just since November. So people are coming to our page to find out what's going on downtown. And we're getting people from Mount Pleasant, Fairfield especially. So just pushing the word out there. We're building up our email base as well and getting a new newsletter specifically from Main Street. So there's a little less confusion on who's doing what. But there's a lot of overlap with the chamber. And I work a lot with Michaela and Mary working together to just make sure that we're supporting the town and letting people know what we have going on.
Great. Thank you.
Any questions for Sam? I really appreciate your energy and enthusiasm, and I do see those Facebook posts. So that is getting through, at least to me.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Okay, Mary. Wedge.
Good evening.
Hello.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Well, thank you.
Welcome. Yes. My name is Mary Audia. I'm the executive director for Wedge. Just want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you all tonight. It's been a great partnership this past year, and I hope it continues going forward. I'm sure it will. Just kind of to highlight some of the things that we've been asked to do for organizational strength. I recently was able to hire an OJT student. So she's a junior at Washington School. Her name is Madison Hesseltine. And she's very ambitious, very good at Canva and graphic design, which I am so grateful for. So she's been helping me out quite a bit. So we'll be able to do a lot more fun projects with her going forward. As far as business retention and expansion goes, we brought in Sterling Ammunitions. We're still hoping that once they get their equipment in, they're going to start hiring, and that at that point, we'll have a business that's up and running. So slowly but surely, they're getting there. But what I'm excited to see is that Sherry and Kevin Wagner, at least Sherry, has joined our local Rotary Club. So they are getting more and more involved in the community. So I thought that was a really good thing. For workforce, we're working closely with Kirkwood. There's a program called High Quality Jobs Program. That's a 260E program. That's when somebody hires somebody at a certain wage level and a certain benefit level, they get tax incentives. So because of that, we brought in over $1 million to Washington County, and 84 of those high quality jobs. So we're very happy about that. We do have workforce initiative meetings. Those are once a quarter. The next one's going to be March 24th at the hospital. If anybody wants to join us, you're more than welcome. Love to have you. We haven't done any paving projects lately. The last one, I believe, in Washington, in our area, was more of the premier one. We also did Farmer's Hen House a little bit north of here. So hopefully we can get something a little closer to home right here in Washington. But we have been doing those and improving the safety for our individuals, the people that live in Washington that go to those both those businesses. In housing, NLW continues to boom and grow. That's been a great collaboration between the city of Washington and Wedge. When Whitesell came in and decided they were leaving, it was a great partnership between our two organizations. So we continue to grow Brava Roof Tile and create more tax revenue for this area. So that's been pretty awesome. And if you haven't checked out Brava Roof Tile, I'll just put a quick plug in for them. Not only do they do roof tiles, now they have pavers. So that's a quick little PR in it. Anyway, they continue to grow and hire people. HACAP, we are pretty excited to be able to work with you all on this as well for HACAP. I'm also on the Housing Trust Fund for ECOG, and so we were able to get money for HACAP to renovate Old Main and also to add another apartment. So now we have another family that's able to move in there. So totally, that was about $157,000 that came into the city of Washington. So we were very happy about that. Child care, we continue to work on that. We're meeting with different organizations here. As a matter of fact, on March 20th, we're going to do a planning session for child care appreciation. If anybody wants to get involved with that, let me know. The official child care appreciation date is May 12th, and that's kind of like a national appreciation. So again, let me know if you're interested. I'd be happy to get you more details on that. One of our biggest things was bringing Debbie Durham to this area. We were very, very excited to have her here, where she toured Bazooka and Brava and EPD and the Y. And part of that spinoff for the pilot project for renovating homes was Debbie helping us with that. So we were very excited to be able to bring those monies here into Washington. The railroad. We've been talking about the railroad quite a bit. So we were a lot more active with you all at the beginning, and we continue to come to the meetings and help answer questions as best we can, but it's been great working with you on the railroad merger. And we'll continue to blast out that survey for you as well. So let's see, industrial park. So we've all of a sudden started some momentum on that, selling some of those lots in the industrial park. I know one of them pulled back, but I just had a gentleman the same day. We were out delivering flowers for Wolf Floral with the Rotary Club. He's looking at 5 acres. So fingers crossed that we can move 5 more acres on there. Wow. So stay tuned. Let's see. I think that's it thus far. Does anybody have any questions? We are asking for the same amount as last year. No changes there. And we'd love to continue to partner with you. So,
thank you, Mary. Anybody have any questions? All right.
Thank you
very much. Okay. This closes the budget part of our meeting. And next, we are going to move into closed session.
I'll make a motion to go into closed
session. All right.
Second.
All those, Sally, call the roll. I keep one.
Snyders?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Blinsman?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Okay. Sorry, we have to kick you out. We've appreciated having you here, though. Thank you for coming.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
vote on that. So we can vote on this now?
Uh-huh. Doesn't have to be on the agenda.
It's a closed session.
Okay.
So when we come out of a closed session,
we gotta vote. We gotta make sure everybody out there to make sure that
nobody stayed.
Was there anybody? We have any press online or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, ours was not exciting enough.
I guess. Yeah.
Right. You didn't have the media here tonight either.
Okay. So who would like
to make a motion? I'd love to make a motion that we accept this offer for lot 7.
All right.
I will second that.
And motion by Elaine, second by Fran. And Sally, call. Is this a voice vote?
No, take a roll call vote, please. Okay. Roll call.
Linsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Right. Great. Happy to have that settled.
Yeah, there's probably
just a side note. Coming in from Brighton last night, I seen all the lights on all the buildings out there. It just looks amazing. That it like 2 years ago, there was nothing there, total darkness, and now there's all these lights out there. I love it. Now there's gonna be more.
It's really beautiful out there.
It's on the way to the water plant, right?
Yeah.
So, my mechanic's moving out there, Sunset Diesel.
He's going too.
Yeah.
So let's do a once around it. And when we do the once around, could you, I know Ivan probably knows everyone's name, but just give a little bit of background about yourself. And we'll start with Chief Lester.
Okay. I'm Jim Lester, Chief of Police. I've been here since May of 2019. I've got 34 years of law enforcement experience.
Wonderful.
My report for tonight, they've completed work on Unit 306, and we're expecting to get that back into service tomorrow. We got to put a decal, or replacing one of the stripes on one of the sides that got banged up in a separate incident from the morning enforcement. So Zach is getting that taken care of tomorrow, and that will be back on the street. Sent the media release out earlier in the week. It was the end of last week. The end of last week on our tobacco and vape compliance. All the
everything that was good.
We're in compliance, so we have 100%. This is the second year in a row that we've had that. So that's good on that. Our first round of interviews for our two open officer positions is going to be next week. So we're continuing to work through that hiring process. We'll see how that goes. The patrol unit that was approved a few months ago, still not in. They'll throw in an ETA at the dealership last week. So it's apparently one of 10 they're waiting on. And we're first in the shop to get it upfitted once it gets there. So
right.
Fingers crossed that comes quickly, and that's all I have for now.
All right, thank you very much, Kelsey.
Okay, I'm the finance director. I think I'm looking in last week, I guess. I just remembered to order the nameplate, so I did that via email like 5 seconds ago. So next meeting, that will be here. I've been with the city for over 9 years, and. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Kelsey. Great. Sally.
I'm Sally Hart. I'm the city clerk, and I've been here since December of 2020. And I follow in Isla's footsteps in my position. So it's nice to have the person who served in that role be so close. But I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Olson, I am the city attorney. I've been here in Washington City Attorney since January 2014. I actually do four other cities, so I have plenty of night meetings a month. So I've been city attorney for 23 years in Coralville, the first one I've done. So, and for my report tonight, I don't have anything.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever had anything?
Oh, once in a while when we have dog cases, I have stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We've had it a while.
Knock on wood.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah.
I'm Deanna McCusker. I'm the city administrator. I've only been with the city of Washington for just a little over a year, but I do have 15 years experience as a city administrator. A couple things I wanted to talk about tonight. As you guys may or may not know, the recalculation residential rollback bill was signed by the governor yesterday. So that will be affecting us a little bit. According to the timeline, we should have our revised evaluations by March 9th, but I'm hopeful for our county that we'll have them by then. This will mean that we will be getting a little less money than we thought. But Kelsey and I have this great plan and to adjust for that reduced amount of money, which we will talk about hopefully at the next meeting prior to us setting our budget hearing. And then just on the train, we did develop a survey. Thanks, Sally. And it's out on the website. It's on the chambers, including it on their newsletter. All of our partners have shared it on their pages. We have got a lot of feedback already. So quiet zone right now, it's about 50% yes, 50% no. Closings, if they have to choose closings, they're picking kind of the ones that we had already talked about. That was very helpful for him to come and explain that to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, we will relook at that. And at the next meeting, we will review all that information. And we do need to make a decision because the railroad wants to know before they start doing their improvements if we're closing any or what we're doing. So that's all I have.
Brandon.
Ivan, how long have I known you? Since you moved here, yeah. Same staggers, Ivan. And we got my friend, Coffee Man. This is my sixth year on the council, something like that, about 6 years, maybe going, yeah, about six. So I'm set where you were prior to anybody else here besides Bethany. It's a challenge. It's a good challenge. It keeps me involved. It keeps me open-minded because of the involvement. And it does take some time. It's just not a meeting time. It's all the input put in behind it. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get, just like anything else, like a sports event. The more you practice and it comes to game time, you're better. The more you dig into this stuff, especially the budget and your packet when you get it, and this is just advice, the more you dig into it, the better you're going to be prepared.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
And I'm Millie Youngquist. And previously I was a counselor at large, and then just a few weeks ago was put into the mayor pro tem. I've been mayor pro tem. And then with Jaron's stepping down, what do we call
leave
it?
Of absence.
Leave of absence, there we go. So then that puts me in the role of acting as mayor, going to meetings and things like that. Before I also worked for the Community Foundation of Washington County, and before I retired, I was a vocal music teacher in the Waco School District for like 35 years. So I come from education to government, and I never would have thought that this would be kind of a second career for me, but I've been on the council. I think I started in fall of 2016. So let's see. Yeah, so you brought up the idea of the railroad. We're going to talk about it next time. I also made up some questions for Fairfield because they're close to us in size and location. They have a quiet zone. And so I wrote up some questions. I gave them to Deanna. If any of you have any other questions, she's going to call their city administrator and try to get information like how they designate their quiet zone and what problems have they had. Now it's not the same train line. I think it's the Amtrak train that goes through Fairfield. So it's a little different. But yes, don't be afraid to ask questions. I mean, there are some questions I think I've asked more than once, and Kelsey or Deanna might get, you know, but don't be afraid to ask questions of us or our wonderful staff. So that's my advice to you. So welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Elaine, work. And what year did you graduate?
2004.
Okay, you were a year behind my daughter, Tia.
Yeah.
She might go free. Yeah, okay. And I have another daughter, Keely. And, you know, Fletcher.
Yeah, the grandson.
Yeah, that's my grandson. Yeah. Fletcher. And I have lived here for 45 years. I'm from Iowa City originally. And just made this my home. Raised my kids here. One came home. So it's all good. And I think Fletcher and I've been around.
Fletcher's a year under Ivan.
They were on the same.
They're on the same soccer team. Yeah. Yes. I think I was close. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a son, Ivan, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have three.
Wow. Three boys. Yeah. So you could say anything you would like.
Well, my name is Ivan Rendio. Well, I have three kids. I have one in high school, freshman, daughter, seventh grade, Aime. And then my little princess in third grade, Isabella. I've lived in Washington since 1994. That's when I moved here. Moved to Washington from Houston. That's where I was born originally. And out of high school, I kind of got into the construction. Well, it was during high school. My dad had his own roofing business. And I just kind of took over. After high school, he kind of did something else, and I just kind of took over, like, on the side, and 2017, I just went full board, you know, full time, so.
Thank you.
I'm Ernest, born and raised in Washington, went away to college, came back, was sitting for several jobs before I was sitting for city clerk and retired, and the third ward came open, so I decided I'd run for that. Extra than government. Volunteered with the chamber and a couple of other organizations, and just really high on keeping Washington going forward and everything. So, welcome to aboard. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
A few hours, but
No, I meant like any other business. Okay. So, Ivan and I went to elementary school together, so we go way back. Mm-hmm. But I moved away after high school and came back in 2018 to Washington. And then it's been, I think, 10 months since I got back. So now I'm no longer the most junior person here.
No longer the newbie
anymore. Anyway, welcome. I'm happy to have the seat filled again. I just had a couple of things. First of all, I wanted to give a shout out to the fire department for doing an excellent job. When was that, Friday morning, right?
Yes.
And then I'm glad to hear we're calling Fairfield for some information about the railroad. Do you know when you plan to call?
This week sometime.
Okay. I have some questions too.
Okay. Yeah. Just email me as soon as you can.
I will do that. And then I understand the railroad wants to know what we're doing so that they can make their plans. But I also just have concerns about rushing into a decision when the community and for this right. So I would like to see the options.
Okay. Well, they need a decision by us because they don't want to come. They have plans to make improvements at crossings, and they don't. If we're going to close a crossing, they won't do anything at those crossings.
So will this decision? So I understand the agreement that we have from them have no sunset clause. That's basically a decision to say
That's an agreement with CP, the railroad. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is maintenance improvements by CP also, but that has nothing really to do with the agreement that we signed. Two kind of separate things.
I guess my question is what exactly will we be voting on, and will we be saying, like, if we would vote no on the quiet zone now, we're saying we will never close any crossing, we will never go for the quiet zone?
That's up to you guys.
Okay.
But just keep in mind, and the thing to keep in mind is I know Millie and I talked a lot about this today. It's kind of two separate things. The quiet zone is one thing.
Okay, but then the crossings, closing any of those is a separate thing. Even if we don't do a quiet zone, we could close crossings.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. and that's why we did the survey, because like I said, we've probably got 140 responses.
We're at 151.
Okay, so that's how many we've gotten already today. I think it was this morning, it was like 133 or something. So we are getting a lot of responses and lots of comments.
Mm-hmm.
So we will definitely share that with you guys prior to making the decision.
I guess my question is, if we decide not to close any crossings now, are we giving up the railroad's offer that we could close them in the future and they will pay us $2.25, whatever the number was?
I think one of the things is the state, remember the state was putting in 100,000. My guess is that is a finite time.
Sure.
If I remember correctly, I don't think there's a sunset on the railroad. We're always would gladly probably pay the 125 to close them later. Yeah. But I think you probably would lose the state money because it's probably a one-time deal or the next couple of years.
I just want to make sure we're not losing the door on something permanently that we may, as a community, change our opinion once the trains are actually here. Thanks for that context.
I just have one, just a quick question. In Bearfield, they have the medians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the medians are out of the question for the two businesses, because that would inhibit them, the ability for them to back trucks in.
That's why I really wanted Andy to touch on that Monday night at the meeting. Mm-hmm. That's why the one question that I was asked, I give it back to Andy, because when we did our diagnostic review, we looked at every crossing and they had done measurements the day before we did that. So when you do the medians and close crossings, they have to be so far away from driveways. And there's a whole bunch of things that weigh into that decision. And the reason we picked North Iowa to close was because there's so many driveways and it didn't make sense to put the median. It just made sense to close that one. So, but now there's no way we can. I mean, hearing all this and looking at all this, there's where we can't. So we may only be able to close two crossings if you guys decide to close any.
It's like Iowa Bridge, there's no way we can put medians there as well.
I mean,
they would never get their equipment into their businesses.
And that's on Mary.
That's Mary.
Yeah. B.
Oh, that's on B.
B. Yeah.
Yeah. B. Marion affects most Levy. Marion and Iowa most Levy. And then B affects Iowa Bridge. And those three, we would have losses if we tried to close those. Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors. Other factors than SRF when they were looking at it. Yeah. They looked at all the technical stuff, but we have other things to consider when we're considering closing crossings.
And would that, if we couldn't, I mean, we can't put medians in, we can't inhibit them from crossing over to their businesses, does that affect the quiet zone? I mean, that if we can't protect those intersections, that makes the quiet zone almost impossible.
It'd have to be
a four quad gate.
We could put a quad gate, but then that greatly increases the cost.
Yeah, $750 inhibited as well.
Costing.
So yeah, we're really in a very we're in a big bind, especially with the cuts that have been made at the state level. And
just one more question about the median. So none of the other crossings qualify to have a median given the location of driveways and everything else? Or what was the assessment there? No medians were in the plan that was presented.
No, that they're paid for our maintenance people to push snow if nothing else.
Right.
I understand. Right. I'm just wondering, were they disqualified due to the distance of
Right. There was a lot of other crossings that were considered, but because of driveways or whatever,
they're too small.
It just wouldn't work.
Now
you have to have 60 feet, I think, is the minimum.
Okay.
And it just wouldn't work unless we talk to property owners and change things.
The medians have to be 60 feet long.
Yes, I think that's the minimum, but they like them to be even longer.
80 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But I'm the last one, so are you ready? Yep. Okay, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Question.
Oh, oops, Rand.
We haven't really talked about this openly at a meeting. How does everybody feel on closing a crossing? Are we is anybody set on which ones we should close? Can we talk about that?
Well, you can, just nothing, a motion can't be made.
No, yeah, I'm just asking. I want to know because I haven't had a chance to talk to Bethany about it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I missed one meeting and I feel like I missed 40 of them because a lot happened there. You guys here till 9 o'clock.
Well, not quite.
I'm in favor of closing by the Casey Hall.
F and
yes. Y.
F, D, and C.
Wherever.
No, yeah. Not D.
Maybe the
D is by the Y.
Okay. D is the one by the Y.
D. And D already has the
cluster warning.
Upgrade.
Yeah, the only one.
Yeah, the only one got upgraded that we should take out.
Well, because they didn't originally have lights there, and they it was right after I think Mrs. Kerr was killed down at the Casey Hall, and they upgraded that one. It was shortly after that.
Okay.
Because it did not have it.
I think with some of the money, we've got to close some of those lower traffic areas.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's
I'm in favor of the one by the KCL because that one's just dangerous, even in my ice and stuff. Because
something also that needs to come up is if we close, I mean, just say this is just if we would have closed all those your home insurance has everything to do with fire protection and how far you are from a hydrant, how far you are from the fire station, and how much access you have. So if we close any crossings on that northwest side or that have access to the northwest side, it's going to affect everybody's insurance policy, homeowners insurance.
I don't know about
since the big truck was going to the underpass, I don't think it should that much, Shirley, because they can. I mean, they got
but we need to. Because if the insurance costs are going up,
right,
and we need to make sure it's not going to affect.
We've got the underpass on this side, and I've got the overpass there.
Clear over.
So at least it's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
I guess I can see closing North C and North F.
That's kind of what I was thinking. We were talking maybe possibly at least two. We'd agree on the close.
I'm in favor of closing F and C. C is the only one that has no arms right now. Right. I think. Given the volume of trains increasing, we would want to install crossing arms there if we don't end up closing it. So that would be an additional cost, even if we don't go for the flight zone. So, I think F and C make the most sense. I'm not really in favor of closing D by the Y. I think it's important to have, if we close D, I assume we would remove stop signs there. Maybe not, I guess, because we still have traffic from the north.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but that would be two of them more uptown.
Up to grade, up to standard crossing arms. But I think I would want to keep the stop signs by the Y for pedestrians trying to access the button.
But you have to just remember, once a crossing's closed, it's closed. Mm-hmm. You're not ever going to get it open again because the railroad's not going to allow it.
Well if we do, if you close a crossing and then in the future want to open it, you have to close two others.
Right.
That's what makes it difficult. To
the right decision now. And what about Palm Avenue?
Yeah, what's
it's out of the city limits.
Yeah, so we have no recourse on that one.
But if we vote for a quiet zone, that has to be part of it.
Because
right?
of the half mile.
Because it's the distance from it.
But then also there again, we have an agriculture business that's on both sides of the tracks. So Vitatos. They've got their house and a shop or something on this side. They have their business on the other side.
What is there right now? What kind of a, it's just a stop sign?
Just lights.
Lights, right. Doesn't have an arm.
It's been a while, but
I think it's just lights.
Mm-hmm.
The railroad did share that we're the highest per capita number of crossings. So I know people will be upset if we're going on one road. We heard from people who don't want to put those out, but I think that's something to consider that we already have
above average number of crossings given the size of our community.
I got on the internet today and just looked up these train mergers. And I was shocked to see, here's a copy of the math of the mergers. And look at all those, I only have three copies, sorry. Look at all those tracks in Canada, all channeling, just coming through, like just coming through Washington to Mexico. Holy cow.
You know, I look for in the future for them to add, there's not going to be enough time in a day for them to get all these trains. They're going to have to add somewhere down.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't come through Washington.
Yeah, that's a lot of train travel.
I just was shocked when I saw that.
Not
so, okay.
Yeah. But just thank remember, you, this Nelly. Is going to be very costly. And we had Marissa, who which I kind of got a kick out of it. She said, well, I've been assessed for the street and the sidewalks. What about the people? Are they going to be assessed for the crossings? It's not feasible. It's not in the cards, but I see a point.
It's also not right because the home people who live in the homes closest to the railroad tracks are some of our lowest income families.
And
so
they will suffer more from the noise pollution.
But I agree, this is so complicated. That's why I don't want us to rush into something or make a vote that closes the door on a future option. So if we're all in agreement, for example, to close F now, I'd be fine voting on that. But I don't want to close the door on future considerations. Because I think we want to take time to consider this and see how the trains impact the community.
I also have to say one thing. When you purchase a home next to a train tracks, you have to understand that you're going to have trains. If you don't want whistles and you don't want trains, then go purchase a home next to the tracks.
Or depot.
I mean, I grew up, I grew up next to the tracks all my life. And I was a newborn baby, and mom said I stopped right there. Right through everything. So we also have to think about that as well. I mean, not that they're bad, nobody's bad because they bought next to the tracks. We just have to realize you buy next to the tracks, you're going to have noise.
All right. Well,
we already motioned, and I think
somebody second it?
Yes.
Did you second it, Pam?
No, I interrupted it.
So who seconded it?
I did.
Elaine. Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
I'll be back.
Sorry to keep you late.
Yeah.
It's still early compared. Last time, 2 weeks ago.
I hope we can still have the
afternoon. I've got 4 inches of snow already. Expect 16 more.
Where? Minneapolis? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They can have it.
Wow.